Let's hear our New Testament lesson from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 14, verses 1 through 12. Hear the word of God. Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. And those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on servants of another? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Now, some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who observe the day observe it in honor of the Lord. Also those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God, while those who abstain, abstain in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then, each of us will be accountable to God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Earlier this week, Diane and I were visited by dear friends who were parishioners in the congregation I served upon graduating from seminary. And that was a time of pre-kids for all of us. And now we're grandparents. And despite the times and distances, we've been in touch through life's ups and downs, life's ins and outs, life's changes and seasons. And amid the scope of life, the universe and everything, topics of conversation that we found ourselves exploring, we grappled with the subject of navigating retirement. Now, the husband had recently retired, and the wife was asking, why am I still working? Now, it never takes us long to go deeper when we're together, and we seamlessly moved from vocation and retirement to asking, why do we do whatever we do? We all affirmed and we shared our desire to be found within the will and way of God and to practice a readiness to respond to God's call upon us daily. Friends, this post-recreation season of back to school, back to work, back to routine, jumping off the carousel at the Western Fair and onto the old familiar weekly carousel of study and assignments and meetings and tasks. Our post-Labor Day calendars are flipping and flopping, appointments are blinking and beeping, and Christmas is peering at us around the corner and peeking at us just over the horizon. Before we've even basted the turkey and carved the pumpkin. This all finds many of asking, what did I sign up for? And every so often, the rhythm and rhyme, the groove and the grind of our days comes to an abrupt halt as we're blindsided by rising waters, a sweeping fire, or the dam breaking and the earth quaking. We can suddenly be flung off our feet when our partner and friend who walked with us daily suddenly disappears and is gone. And in such times, it's not uncommon to hear people question the things that they have valued most in previous days. How often have you heard echoing through the seaside towns after the wind's fury, and places along the fault line, amid the rubble, hear people say, we're alive and we've got each other and nothing else matters. For the students among us, I'm wondering how long it will be before one of your classmates rises to the occasion and asks predictably, do we have to know this for the final, right? And some of us may find moments when our bowed head drops into our cupped hands and we cast our question into the apparent empty wind. What am I doing this for? It's been said that approximately 70% of working people do not like their jobs. For some, it's not fulfilling. For others, it sucks the life out of them. Some dislike their colleagues and they hate their bosses. And it makes you wonder if we're ever in God's will for us. So, what is God's will for you? Are you where God wants you to be? As people of faith, we want to know that we are within God's will and way for us. Surely there is no other place that we would want to be. I remember as a young adult being a bit stressed out over my need to know God's will for my life. And I think a lot of this was motivated by fear that I would somehow go in the wrong direction or start doing the wrong thing. And I remember nearing the end of high school and praying, you know, God, it sure would be nice if you just slid down on a rainbow into my bedroom and hung up on the wall the map and the calendar and the itinerary. Just put it all out there plainly. On the bedroom wall, I can see it all and know it all. That there would be no wondering and no question, and everything would be clear. And I recall sharing my prayerful struggle with my youth leader, who also happened to be my driving instructor. And he wisely and simply advised me, saying, he said, Al, you can't steer a parked car. Those words were so freeing. I surely knew what was outside of God's will and way. You know, don't sell drugs to public school kids or sell your sister on the street. Obvious. But there may be numerous opportunities to serve God daily that would be within his will and way. Friends, God knows the language of our hearts and communicates clearly the life and the fullness of it that he would have us all experience. God's word teaches us in Jeremiah 29:11, "For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare, not for harm, to give you a future with hope." God's will is that we love God and others as ourselves. And despite all the self-destructive, narcissistic tendencies we witness in this age of entitlement, the wherewithal to implement healthy self-love is more challenging than ever. I think at the opposite end of the spectrum, one of the impediments to living purposefully and freely and fully is that we have been guilted into marching to the beat of a variety of drummers and jumping through countless hoops at the detriment of nourishing self-care. We have a hard time loving ourselves. And then, from the apparent empty wind, a still small voice says, "Come to me, all you who labor and carry a heavy burden, and I will give you rest." Shalom. Balance. Peace. Friends, a life of love, peace, and rest is God's will for us. Who are you, and whose are you? Knowing who we are and whose we are impacts every facet of our lives. And our self-understanding will certainly have an impact upon the spending of our time and energies. We were able to affirm together this morning as we approach God in worship that we are indeed objects of God's love and affection. And God's word in our confession echoed what God has been saying since the beginning of time. We were made in God's image, and we are not some monkey's uncle or some monkey's great nephew or niece. And on the other hand, we are not God and are a little lower than the angels. You are a child of God and a servant of God. Now, Bob Dylan was right when he prophetically claimed in a song some years ago, "You've got to serve somebody." Because we all serve someone or something. And Jesus taught us how to serve each other, how to be foot washers, where our working within God's will breaks down is when we find out too late that we fail to discern the difference between washing feet and being someone's doormat. Servants, yes. Doormats, no. Colossians 2:23-24 says, "Whatever your task, put yourselves into it as done for the Lord, and not for your masters, since you know that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You serve the Lord Christ. Who we are working for needs to be clear. Like the question my friend asked herself this week, I'm asking today, what are we working for? It helps to consider what it is that is motivating the spending of our time and energies. Are we moved by fear or moved by love? Remember, perfect love casts out fear. Remember, Jesus said, consider the lilies of the field and the birds of the air who do not toil for the things they need. God provides for them. They live and work for God's glory, flying, singing, growing, waving. 2 Corinthians 4:15 reminds us that the sharing of grace increases thanksgiving to the glory of God. Friends, everything has as its goal worship. The fruit of our labor will tell us what we are working for. Are we working for the bucks, or are we working to make a difference? Are we motivated by the fear factor or the love factor? Are we conduits of grace or reservoirs of fear? Is the byproduct of our work the grapes of wrath or the wine of gladness? We pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. Yet too many times I've witnessed the regret in people as they have reflected upon their lives and they've learned too late that you can't take it with you. But I know that you can send it on ahead. In John 6:27, Jesus says, do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. And we have been given Jesus himself and grace in many of its dimensions has been manifest in all of us who have been called to represent him today. In this time and in this place, for such a time as this. So, then let us in this post-Labor Day season, this season of Sabbath rest, reaffirm and consider who we are and whose we are, and welcome together the grace that we've been given to share. Let us commit our work in all of its manifestations to facilitate grace with a view to making worship our collective response to God's faithfulness. Let us pray. Oh God, as this part of the earth tilts a little bit further from the sun, and the days continue to get shorter and cooler, we marvel at the delicate balance of our place in the cosmos. Kilometers closer, we would die of the heat. Kilometers further away, and we would freeze to death. And you've placed us on this orbiting, life-giving circle, and brought us together into a circle of love and compassion as the whole people of God, your church. God, we prayed to become servants, to move to a place where we can be supportive and caring of others. So keep us, we pray, from venturing too close to the center where we presume to be you, and inhibit us from venturing too far away in flights of independence and self-determination, cutting ourselves off from the life-giving and healing communion with the body of your Son. Bless, we pray, our congregations and the extended family we know as CBOQ. Encourage and inspire our leadership and our partners in mission. And today, we pray for all movements toward peace and reconciliation in our world and in our community, in our homes and in our hearts. We thank you for the necessary pieces that make our church family complete: the space and time for worship, homes and friends and nourishing spaces for growing faith, circles of prayer and study of your word. We're grateful for tables where thirsts are quenched and bread is broken and relationships are built. May our doors be open as a wider welcome so we can more easily serve and care. We thank you for the open hands that lift up those weary from the day's losses and diminished strength, for open arms that embrace those alone and lost, and for open eyes that attend your way before us, and open minds that surrender to your transforming work. God, make us receptive to your Spirit's movement in our midst. By your Spirit, draw near to and lift up and tenderly hold those who are desiring your eternal rest. Bring new strength and healing, hope and mending to those unable to stand because of injury and worn out parts. Bring to these places of hardship and painful loss the shalom beyond all understanding. God, please continue the good work that you've begun in us. Bless the tie that binds us into the people of your realm, and may we accept the cost and discover the joy of discipleship and commitment to the one whose name we bear, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.